All good, honey. Ready to go. It is a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan. It's Monday afternoon. Yes, I am back. It is live because I know some of you were moaning over the last 2 weeks. And I saw one or two comments, by the way. Most of them quite complimentary, by the way. What's the story? Where's Niall? You're fooling nobody. I wasn't trying to fool anybody. I was actually in hospital, in case you're curious and interested. I got a really bad blood infection. I'm still not 100%. And I've been told by a consultant that I'm not going to feel 100% probably for about 2 months. I'm still on antibiotics and I'll be on them for the next few weeks. But, you know, needs must. I got to get back to work. You know, doctors and consultants will say, oh, take a lot of time off work. But taking lots of time off work, of course, doesn't pay all the bills. So we have to get back to work. We have to do what we do best. And we have to make a wage because we have bills to pay. But look, I'm okay. I'll be grand. I'll get through it. And if I'm not here tomorrow, well, you know, I've just got worse again. That's just the way it has to be, unfortunately, for the next few weeks. But thank you to all of those, by the way, who support me. I got some really kind messages from a lot of nice people, a lot of nice listeners for the time that I was off. Most of you probably wouldn't have been aware that I was in hospital. But thank you very much indeed for all the kind messages. Somebody's texting already, said, what sort of infection? I don't know. That's the answer. Doctors were looking at all sorts of things. Was it an insect bite? Was it, I don't know. They have no idea. So they just, well, look, the one good thing about it was I got a full viral screen. I got, you know, MRIs, CT scans. I got ultrasounds of every bit of my body. So all the nasty stuff came back negative. So it's a bacterial infection in my blood and they don't know what it actually is. So unfortunately, that's just have to treat it with antibiotics. And it's a really strong antibiotic, which has an awful lot of side effects as well. Anyway, you don't want to hear about my moaning. Speaking of moaning, the Irish government have been moaning of late because, of course, they don't know what's going on in relation to the traditional White House St. Patrick's Day bowl of shamrock. It looks like nobody's been invited yet. Now, it's getting a bit late in the day and I have a strange feeling they're not going to get invited. I know Sinn Féin have already snubbed the White House, which I find ironic, by the way, that Michelle Smith has decided initially, obviously, to snub the White House because of its stance on Gaza. And Trump's stance on Gaza. Yet she was there last year when Biden was there, who supplied weapons that carpet bombed Gaza in the first place. So I find that quite odd, by the way, that she would go when Biden was there, who was an Israeli supporter. And yet she won't go when Trump is there, who's also, by the way, seems to be a supporter of Israel, too. I think she took out of context what he said, but he didn't. I don't think he's suggesting for a minute that he was going to, you know, evacuate Gaza and remove everybody and make them all homeless or anything like that. I think he basically wants to put money into it and rebuild the whole place. I mean, realistically, if you've seen it lately, you can't live there. You couldn't possibly live there. It's impossible. The place is just rubble. And I think he just wants to put money into it, but people obviously take him out of context on a regular basis. But here's the thing. If hypothetically we were going to send somebody to the White House, remember, of course, that Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, and probably Roderick O'Gorman, most of the politicians in Ireland, most of the party leaders in Ireland, have all at some point, including Mary Lou, called him a racist, a misogynist, and all sorts of things. Simon Harris said he was a gowl. Micheál Martin said his comments were racist. They've had nothing good to say about him over the last 3 or 4 years. So, and I'm sure, by the way, Donald Trump doesn't take kindly to people making personal attacks on him and takes it quite personally. I'm sure they're not going to get invited. I don't think he wants them there. So if that was the case, and hypothetically we could send somebody else who would be a representative of the Irish people, who would you like to see being sent to the White House? Who do you think would be a good representative of the Irish people? Let me know what you think. The number is 085-100-2255. But let me go to David Quinn, if I can, who's a columnist, of course, for the Sunday Independent. David, hi, how are you?
Niall, I was sorry to hear about your troubles there. That all sounds a bit alarming.
Yeah, it was actually. When I went to the hospital initially, they had said to me that when I came in, it was lucky I came in when I did. I thought I had the flu for about 4 or 5 weeks. That's what it felt like initially. And then I got this crazy rash that looked like something from the meningitis or something like that. That's what the doctor said. You're going to the hospital. So they admitted me straight away. But they said if I didn't get admitted when I did, it could have been fatal. You know?
You sound in good voice.
Yeah, well, I'm not too bad now. Still getting the temperatures every now and again, but it's not as bad as it was. Getting back to the White House, I mean, it's a bit ironic that Sinn Féin have kind of snubbed the White House when Michelle O'Neill was there only there last year with Joe Biden, who was equally responsible for, you know, as I said, carpet bombing Gaza in the past and supplying weapons. So it does seem a little bit daft.
I mean, it looks like a version of theatrics to me, because as you say, last year the war was in full swing. This year there's a ceasefire. Hopefully the ceasefire will hold. So things have actually improved since a year ago. So as you say, why would they have gone a year ago and not go now? It doesn't particularly make any sense.
Kind of political football, isn't it, really? I mean, look, there's a suggestion Michelle O'Neill is trying to, I suppose, grandstand slightly because she may be running for president at some point, heaven forbid.
Yes. But you see, they're trying to plead. I mean, I suppose there's a large cohort of their supporters. They just hate Israel so much. And that's, you know, grown over the last year, even despite the ceasefire. They obviously hate Donald Trump. And so probably if the two of them were to go, it would cause ructions inside the party. They would be criticised by the rest of the left. As you say, there's a presidential election coming up in a few months' time, and Sinn Féin want to be strongly placed. Mm. And so they probably figure any pictures of the two of them with Donald Trump will be used against them. Mm. And so I suppose it's for kind of internal political reasons, apart from theatrics, that they're not going.
In relation,
assuming, by the way, they were invited.
but this is the other thing. Nobody actually said they were invited in the first place. But getting back to who's being invited, we would have a fair idea by now, you know, who would be going to the White House. Now, I know they did put out a press release last week about, you know, where all the ministers were going for St. Patrick's Day. Micheál Martin had Washington down, you know, as part of his visit, his plan to the White House. But I don't believe there's been an official invitation yet. So what do you reckon? Do you reckon they're going to be snubbed this year?
Well, you see, I was speaking to somebody there a few days ago who knows American politics inside and out far better than I would. And I was saying to him, so, like, what's the story with St. Patrick's Day? And, you know, what's the story with the Trumps thinking about Ireland and the Trump administration? And he was saying, well, you know, to be honest, they're not really thinking about Ireland all that much at all because they have about 10 much bigger irons in the fire. So he said that the best thing would be actually just to keep the heads down. But you see, like, it's a weird thing. Every year, like, we're dead proud of our automatic invitation to the White House, which almost no other country gets. So we're a tiny country, and we have this automatic date with the President of the United States, whoever that may be. But this is the first year ever that actually it would be more to our advantage if that date didn't exist. Because what we want is not to be noticed. and to be kind of invisible for the foreseeable future in the hope that Trump actually kind of never gets around to us and never notices us because he has so many other things distracting him, like Ukraine and Gaza and, you know, all kinds of internal things. So, you know, like, if you're Trump, has St. Patrick's Day even occurred to him yet? And then somebody in the next few days, I suppose, will tap him on the shoulder. You know, Mr. President, we have this thing on St. Patrick's Day. The Irish are supposed to be coming. And he thinks, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. What should we do about that? I wonder if I should invite him over at all. And so no invite comes because of our huge trade surplus with the United States, which is earned at the, you know, at the expense of Americans by American companies who have all located here. So we've had a really fantastic deal for years and years and years, and Trump would see, but that's at the expense of American workers,
yeah,
at the expense of American taxpayers, so he doesn't like that one bit.
Yeah.
He thinks, well, let's not invite them, let's make them sweat this out. Or he says, absolutely, let's invite them, and over comes Micheál Martin, and Trump takes the opportunity to give him a lecture. So actually, we all want Martin to give him a lecture. Well, he's in no position to give
him a lecture. I was only speaking recently to a friend of mine, but I say a friend, an acquaintance of mine, who was in the Trump administration, and he was only brought into this year. Now, he was in the first Trump administration as well, and he was brought in again this year. He's in counterterrorism. But he has made Donald Trump aware, and through me, of all the names that he has been called by Irish politicians, including the suggestion by Roderick O'Gorman that he looked good behind bars. You know, Simon Harris calling him a gowl, and also with his Kamala hat during the election. Micheál Martin saying his comments were racist. Mary Lou MacDonald calling him a misogynist and a racist. And he's been well aware of their position and the way they've spoken about him and their disrespect for him. And he is the type of person that takes things very personally and basically shoots from the hip. You piss him off, he's just not going to want to talk to you. So I think he may actually snub them and say, I don't want those pack of eejas over here. Sure, all they've done is call me names for the last 4 years.
I mean, it's entirely possible. And you see, that means we've been noticed, because if we don't get an invite, it's incredibly pointed and it just spells bad news for us. Mm. But again, if we do get invited, you might decide, okay, here they come, I know what they think of me, and I know how much Ireland is making at America's expense, as he sees it. And he says, I'm going to sort them out. So this is an incredibly uncomfortable position for us to be in. At the same time, you'd have lots and lots of people here thinking that we should kind of take this quote-unquote moral position and give him a lecture, which is not going to go down well either. And he's going to be thinking, you're in no position to be giving us lectures.
I was going to say that. We're not in any position to be lecturing anybody, to be honest with you.
No, because you pay nothing for your own defence. You free ride on the rest of Europe, particularly the US, for years and years and years in terms of your own defence. And you make an absolute ton of money out of the American economy. I mean, like, he can easily point to the fact that these giant US pharmaceutical companies here, they set up here to reduce their tax bill, and then they export a ton of pharmaceutical products back to the United States. That's all great for those American companies, but it's not so great for the United States. Mm. It's also fantastic for Ireland. So he'd be just looking at that thinking, why is that continuing? Yeah. How's that fair for Americans? And so this puts us in no position to be lecturing the United States.
I mean, you can see what he's doing at the moment. Everywhere he can see, along with Elon Musk, where money can be saved. This is Doge, of course. He's doing it. And by the way, the very interesting one was yesterday, he said himself and Elon Musk were going to go to Fort Knox today. He said nobody has been there. No president has been there in years. He said, because I want to see if the gold is actually still there. He said it could be gone at this stage. But here's the thing. Hypothetically, David, let's rule out, the Irish political class just for the moment. And the question I'm asking my listeners today in a hypothetical situation, who do you think, if somebody was to be invited to represent the Irish people right now at this very moment in time, apart from yourself, obviously, present company excluded, who do you think would be a good representation of the Irish people to send to the White House?
Well, it's a good question and a hard one to answer, because most Irish people, if they think about it at all, are basically anti-Israeli, and so do we want...
Are most Irish people anti-Israeli? I don't think so. I just think the Palestinian supporters are very loud.
Well, I mean, if you see these opinion polls, you'll see a big majority of people are critical of what Israel has been doing during the war. Now, how deep that goes, I don't know. In answer to your question, Michael D. Higgins, well, no, because no Irish president has ever gone over for the White House visit. Imagine how that would go. Mm. The obvious answer is Micheál Martin, because he's the Taoiseach. But if you were to say, okay, you have complete freedom to send over whoever, I don't know who that would be. Like, would it be, okay, I'm going to pick a name completely out of the hat here, because he is very close to the American Republicans and has been spent an awful lot of his time in America doing business, and that's Declan Ganley.
Declan Ganley, yeah, so that name came up on Twitter there today, Declan Ganley. Mm. Yeah, because
He's friendly with them. He's friendly with them, and he knows Ireland, and he's a patriotic Irishman. Mm. I know he's born in England, but, I mean, he's basically Irish.
Yeah.
Parents are Irish. Our establishment would never buy him going over as part of the Irish delegation in a million years, because he massively dirtied his bib during the first Lisbon Treaty referendum by opposing that. And so he became an enemy of the Irish establishment forever.
Remind me again, Declan, he ran for European elections at one stage, didn't he, I think?
He did as well, yeah. So there was the Lisbon Treaty referendum, I think it was in 2008, and Declan Ganley emerges basically out of nowhere, and he helps to lead the opposition to the Lisbon Treaty, and the Lisbon Treaty got defeated. This is the time of Brian Cann. Then, of course, they ran it again until we gave the right answer. But Declan Ganley became completely and utterly demonised at the time, because who is this guy? And I just remember a super hostile RTE documentary about him, because you just can't, because if you stand in the way of what the establishment wants, they make you pay a price.
Oh, they discredit you, of course,
So there's Declan. And, he's one of the few Irishmen who seems to have very strong contacts with the Republican Party. He doesn't take the normal Irish establishment view, which is the Republicans are absolutely horrible and the Democrats are absolutely brilliant. So here's a fellow with these good contacts, and he's probably the last person in the world that our establishment parties would use to try and improve relations with the Trump administration, because we have a terrible habit of cutting our nose off to spite our face.
Well, I have to say that's a good pick. I will go along with you with Declan Ganley. But David, look, it's been nice talking to you again today. Thank you very much indeed. David Quinn, columnist with the Sunday Independent and the Irish Catholic. So David is saying Declan Ganley, and of course he is talking about, of course, Sinn Féin playing politics, which is a bit daft, as I said, because they were there last year. Michelle O'Neill was there last year, and Joe Biden was in there last year, and sure, the war was in the thick of it in Gaza. That makes no sense that they would snub it this year. But as David rightly says, there's probably a situation there where Michelle O'Neill may be running for presidency this year and doesn't want to be seen in a photograph with Donald Trump. Why? I don't know. He is the president of America, after all. John, hi, how are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you very much indeed, John.
The name I was going to have would be Pater Tobin.
Pater Tobin, yeah, reason, good, yeah, good pick.
Yeah, because the man believes in United Ireland, right? He's a very honourable man. He was the man who was out front as a Gaza referendum with the carers and the women and the home, and he was proved 100% right. So, I mean, he's a man of huge integrity, right, and has a huge moral compass. So that would be the person. Now, unfortunately, if the invite does come, and nobody knows, I mean, yes, will it or will it not come, right? Because as you have alluded to, there's a lot of stuff going back, I mean, to Trump, and Trump has a huge bloody ego, right? It's the size of Cock Harbour.
Absolutely.
And if he feels that he's actually been insulted in any way, he can be a very vindictive man. Right, and yeah. We've seen that. I mean, the way he has fired people and got rid of people, and the way he talks to reporters.
Oh no, he holds. Like, he doesn't hold back. That's for sure.
Oh no, he doesn't give a shit. Like, he doesn't suffer fools easy at all. Like, but if I was a betting man, I'd say the invitation probably will come. If it didn't come, I'm not going to cry about it, like, because I've no time for me on that anyway. But I mean, apart from Pater Tobin, I think what I would like to see maybe is if you had a referendum, or not a referendum, we'll say kind of a raffle. So that we could all pay an X amount, we'll say, and the money would go to charity. And an Irish person representing an ordinary Irish person, right, like anyone listening out today here on the programme, right, that we would be picked, and like, I mean, the computer would put it all in and a name would come out. That person that would be picked to represent the Irish people, an ordinary Irish person, not a politician, not with any great business background or anything, but just to go over on behalf of the Irish, the ordinary Irish people, with no agendas and no political gain attached to it, just to visit the White House, present it as a singular Irish person on behalf of the genuine Irish population. Right? That's what I would like to
see. By the way, somebody told me in relation to the bowl of shamrock that once they deliver the bowl of shamrock, like 20 minutes later after the cameras are gone, it's brought out the back and it's dumped because seemingly they don't want, you know, foreign vegetation on American land, or so. I don't know how true that is.
That's the danger, because if you're going into any country, I mean, you can't bring any vegetables or anything with a root.
Yeah, well, maybe they grow it over there. Maybe they just hand it. Maybe it's grow. I don't know whether Michal actually travels on the plane with a bowl of shamrock in his hand, on his lap. Does he? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, two fighter jets. no, but the thing is that look.
And what about Sinn Féin snubbing the White House?
Well, I was just going to get to that. I think they'll.
Hypocritical, isn't it?
Let's for 1 minute now say that the last election had been different and Sinn Féin had done away better and Mary Lou MacDonald would now be the Taoiseach. Do you think for 1 second that she wouldn't go if she was Taoiseach? Of course she would. She's just a bloody clown talking out of both sides of her mouth. She's on about, oh, we are taking a model stance here. But at the same time, she says she supports Micheál Martin going. But if she's really been true to herself and her so-called moral compass, she should say, we're not going, and I'm calling for the Taoiseach of Ireland not to go as well.
But how is she taking a moral stance when last year Michelle O'Neill went over? They were quite happy to go over last year, Sinn Féin, and the DUP, yep, of course, and chat to Joe Biden, when Joe Biden was supplying weapons to carpet-bomb Gaza. I mean, and they were in the thick of the war at the time.
Yeah, how many Sinn Féin people have you seen? Have you seen Mary Lou MacDonald, Pierce O'Doherty, or anyone down in Shannon below supporting the Shannon Watch, who are constantly monitoring the American war machine that lands in Shannon and have been since going back to the Vietnam War?
Yeah, it's kind of political grandstanding is what. That's all they're doing. You know, it looks good. And as I said to David already, there's a plan here. And the plan is, I don't know which one of them is going to run for presidency, Mary Lou or Michelle O'Neill. Or maybe they'll both run, I don't know. But they don't want to be seen in a photograph of Donald Trump. That's all it is. It's to do with Donald Trump.
Well, this idea that Michelle O'Neill is what's going to have a prison, I don't know. Well,
she wouldn't get my vote, that's for sure.
I call her the decommissioned hairdresser.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what she said? She said yesterday on British television in an interview that Hamas could be part of a peace process. They're terrorists. Why would you want them as any part of any peace process? Hamas.
This is the thing. Well,
these are the same idiots, by the way, Hamas. The day before, Sinn Féin said they were snumbaloo because of Gaza. These guys, Hamas, were standing there, you know, celebrating the coffins of little children being handed over to the Israelis.
By the way, look at the Gaza Middle East now. I mean, Hamas, what they've done, kicked it all off and have been doing for a long time. Mm. Hamas are scumbags. They don't believe
in
democracy.
Of course they are. They're terrorists.
Of course, on the back of that, I have to be true to my moral compass. Like, the reaction by the Israelis and by Netanyahu was way over the top. Like, there's tens of thousands of children, women and children, after being slaughtered, innocent people. Like, it would be just like the British Army, they say, you know, that they knew that there was a cell of IRA guys just over the border in the south, and they said, you know something, we bombed the whole of Dundalk now, whatever, no, like, I mean, we'll get the tree.
I do get you. It was an overreaction. But unfortunately, unfortunately, sometimes things like that happen in war. War is always bad. Innocent people die. John, thank you for that. All right. Let me just go to Jason. Jason, hi. How are you?
Afternoon, Niall. Welcome back, pal.
Thank you very much.
Come here, Niall. This goes deeper than just Ukraine and Palestine. If you don't wear a Palestine lapel, if you're not chanting from the river to the sea, you're not waving a rainbow-coloured flag. If you don't believe everybody's welcome, and it's not the mass migration that's causing all the problems. It's the lack of Gardaí. It's the lack of nurses. Like, we've boatloads of nurses and doctors coming in. You're far right. And the lines have been drawn now. You're either on the Trump side, where he just wants to cut out all this fucking nonsense. That's what he wants to cut out. Just cut out the nonsense. Spending millions and millions and millions of pounds. Have you heard some of the nonsense they're spending the money on?
I've seen this.
Well, the same time they're telling us there's not enough houses, there's not enough
America, what was it? They sent millions over for a transgender opera in Cambodia or something like that.
Come on. Yeah. You know, that's what's wrong. Okay, we have a load of slippery little second weasels that are clinging onto this European thing. Micheál Martin a couple of years ago slating us because we wanted our sovereignty. That's a backwards looking thing. And then a couple of weeks ago, how he's going to defend Ukraine's sovereignty to the death. Mm. You know, come on. You know, I mean, the way they're looking at it is Donald Trump does not take that crap, so therefore they can't be seen to be liking him. Oh God, no, that goes against Europeans. Everybody can be anything they want, values.
Ireland's policies, in recognising the state of Palestine in the first place, officially recognising the state of Palestine, our policies, or should I say our stance on Ukraine and our support for Ukraine, for both financially and physically, our support to Ukraine, everything that we do goes against what Donald Trump believes in. So from that point of view, obviously he has a very different view of the world.
Now, who pays us the most amount of money in the world? Where does our most investment come from?
America.
And what about the chop off our nose to spite our face? Like, it's our country. These people, I mean, we know the way our elections are worked now, okay? So I don't believe that they speak for the country, right? They got less than a third of the vote each, right? So therefore, they do not speak for the majority of the country, okay? They will not give us what we want. They want a referendum on immigration. Why? Because the last time they gave us a referendum on something to do with immigration, we told them where to stick. Remember, you couldn't just come to this country and have a baby?
Yeah.
Remember that? We overwhelmingly said no.
2004, 84% of people voted against it, yeah.
And yet we've the chief, I think it was one of the RT women, was on giving out to somebody, some American fella at the elections, and he said, sorry, you've been this in yourselves.
Yeah, well, that's right, because birthright citizenship, Donald Trump just banned birthright citizenship.
Yeah.
And she had a go at saying, do you think that's right that he did that? And the commentator from the United States said, but you did it already. So why can you do it and we can't?
Niall, they will not mention when anything goes wrong that it is an immigration problem. It's every other problem but an immigration problem. That just goes to tell you. And it's all cheap labour. Cheap labour. So what I said to the White House, Michael O'Leary, or Ryan, your man that owns Ryanair, what's his name? That's Michael O'Leary.
Michael O'Leary.
Somebody like that. Somebody that knows what they're talking about. Businessman, I've said it for a long time. Now, you're always telling me politics, that it's a job. Now, if they were in a real job, they'd be all sacked.
Oh, they would, yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay. So therefore, that's not a real job. I don't consider that a real job. Get some businessmen in there, some businesswomen, people who have actually made something of themselves. Not somebody that didn't even graduate school.
So your suggestion to go to the White House this year would be Michael O'Leary? That's not a bad suggestion. Yeah.
I mean, they pump a lot of money into this country. Without them, if even half of the multinationals pulled out of this country, we'd be back to picking sports people. Just remember that.
Oh, yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you, Jason. Sorry, I've got to get through people quickly. I have loads of people. Thanks, Jason. Gladys, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. Welcome back.
Thanks very much, indeed.
Sorely missed, you know. Just a couple of things really quickly, because I know you're pushed for time. I bring the plastic bowl, so then there would be no worry about the old worms and stuff like that from Ireland, you know, sort of thing. So if we get the old plastic thing.
By the way, I only heard this today, that they burn it, right, afterwards, right? But then I was thinking, do they actually bring it over, or do they just get someone to grow it over there, and then Michal just picks it up when he gets there?
Probably. Well, it could be anything in that old bowl. We don't really know what the hell it is, you know. Sort of
yeah, it's the same bowl they've been using for years. Yeah, it's the same bowl.
Yeah. On a sort of kind of joke, I was found initially Batman and Robin, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, they would be good contenders that would save Ireland, you know, sort of thing. And in their case,
I think we're past that point now. Even Batman and Robin can't save us now.
Or Dustin the turkey.
Yeah.
But on a serious note, I would send an ordinary Joe, Mr. and Mrs. Soap. I mean, somebody that actually has the love of this country and its countrymen and women that they care about. And look for help for the direction that our country is going in. And no politicians, nobody with anything to do with anything. What actually on the ground, and that's where it's always missed out, is what people feel on the ground, is what's happening to their country, not this all liquor thing and all the stuff that they do and talking out of both sides of their mouth. So it has to be somebody who just loves their country and wants the best for it. No greed, no nothing. And just a genuine. And I just think, you know, that everybody's sick of the, you know, I mean, the joke of Micheál waiting for the phone to ring to look for, will he grow the shamrock or will he not, or will he water it? Or what's he going to do?
What's your gut feeling? Do you think they're going to get an invite or do you think they'll be snubbed?
Actually, I think it's a bit late in the day and my gut tells me no.
Yeah.
They're going to say, you know what? You know, you did your, you know, shut up.
Yeah, yeah. All you did is call me names for the last 3 years.
Why would I? Why would I want to see you? We're just this little island off the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I don't know where our Verticomas leaders think they're so important. Have they any idea that we are a dot?
Before the American elections there, you know, around kind of November the 2nd, 3rd, I mean, the vitriol that was coming from people like Roderick O'Gorman, Simon Harris, when he was on Instagram showing his Kamala hat, you know, Micheál Martin, and Mary Lou calling him Donald Trump a misogynist and racist. I mean, the vitriol was outstanding. And, you know, they were gagging to get Kamala in there, you know, because she was nuts.
The reverse, that they were, you know, Trump and all of that were saying, you know, look at the state of Harris, you know, Micheál Martin, you know, sort of say, what if that was coming from the other side?
Oh, yeah.
We'd be all up in arms. We all say, that's disgusting. That's disgraceful.
Imagine the leader of the country called him a gowl. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then tried to pawn it off, saying it was a bit of humour, you know?
You know, like, I mean, if he was in a pub and he was sitting at the bar, which I'm not sure he does, but, you know, and it was yakking and he said that, okay, that's his private thought. This is, our leaders of the country calling other leaders. This is disgusting, you know? Yeah. And when they send into schools, you know, all be kind, be decent, don't be a bully, all those good things and happy things and nice things. And then our government, people in power, call others names.
Yeah.
You know, like in a horrible playground scenario. So I don't think their invite will be coming. Or if it does, they will be literally so far up his ass that Trump will be desperately uncomfortable.
Yeah. It would be very funny. You know? It would be very funny to see them grovel, wouldn't it?
Oh my God! Yeah, that's what they're going to have to do if they have any chance.
Yeah,
and have they any clue that the ordinary person on the street knows you gobshite? Mm. Who does that? And then sitting by the phone.
I think we're all on the same page. We don't want any politician going. Is there a name that comes to mind, Gladys? Hypothetically, if we could send one person over, you think would be a decent representative of the Irish people and speaks for you and speaks for the Irish people.
When I don't have a personal name, but what I would have in my head would be somebody that does really good work without, you know, any fanfare, nobody actually knowing about them. They just do it in the background of a decent human being, just a decent Irish human being that loves our country and loves our people and just is doing it quietly, you know, in community work or whatever that might be. You know, just nobody that's going around saying I'm great or, you know, or all the bull. Just go over to him, say, how are you? You know, listen, I love my country and I'm really worried about the direction it's going in.
And here's the bowl of shamrock.
I wonder if you could... Yeah, and here's an ice cream, and, you know, whatever. I think he doesn't drink, so maybe give him a Coke or something like that, or Pepsi, whatever you're into. And whatever, and just say, listen, you know, this is from the Irish ordinary people. This is a bowl of whatever plastic...
Shamrock. Artificial shamrock. Thank you for that, Gladys. Appreciate you coming on. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Good afternoon and welcome back. Good to hear from you.
Thanks very much indeed. I appreciate it, Joe.
Hope you're better again.
Yeah, well, look, I'm getting there. I'm not 100%, but I'm getting there.
Oh, no, that's the main thing anyway. Well, if there's anyone to send over there, Niall, I think it should be you, Niall. I think you'd be the only one over there that would solve the whole problem. At least it would be two men talking together. It would be two gobshites talking together. You know,
I'll happily accept the invitation, by the way, if they wanted to send it to me.
You could also bring Maliki over there, which is well.
Maliki Steenson, yeah.
Yeah, because his name has already been mentioned.
Yeah.
There was a lady on there a couple of weeks ago on the show, and she suggested that Maliki should go over there, you know, because. You know, this fucking thing, you know, sending the likes of Micheál Martin and them over to Washington is an embarrassment because I know that Trump is not going to allow these gobshites to go over there and start talking shite, you know?
No.
He's not going to let these gobshites go over and start doing the clown, you know?
Yeah.
Because you know and I know that Donald Trump doesn't forgive or forget. He doesn't forget. And after the way our politicians in this country are treating him in the last couple of months and the last number of years, do you think he's going to engage with the likes of Micheál Martin?
Yes, if I was Donald Trump, I might invite Micheál over and then embarrass him in front of the world's press.
Yeah, I do like what Boris Yeltsin done in 1994 when he refused to meet the Irish government. Do you remember Albert Reynolds?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I just say, sorry, lads, I'm not meeting those clowns. I don't want to get a disease or anything landing on me. Because like some Martin and them, they're just traitors. They're just cutthroat traitors. And they're an embarrassment to the country. You know something? I nearly go over there myself or John O'Donovan, a couple of Irish Irish nationals.
Patriots, yeah. Over there. Patriots,
yeah. And I tell you something, we might have a better day out on it, you know. Because I think at the moment, you know, sending the likes of him and any other Irish politician over there, it's just an absolute,
Well, there is one or two Irish politicians. So some people have mentioned online Carol Nolan. Yeah, she's a good representative.
Yeah, Carol Nolan.
Yeah, Pater Tobin is a good guy.
Yeah.
Catherine Connolly, somebody else said. Yeah, she's good. Yeah, I mean, there is a few, you know. Somebody says I'd vote for Mary Lou MacDonald. That comes in from Susan.
And you know,
Mary Lou MacDonald is the last person I would. I don't know, Susan, what you're thinking of. She's the last person I ever said. She's just about to go anyway.
She's just a fucking gobshite. You know something? I tell you something.
But she called Donald Trump a misogynist and a racist. Why would you want to send her?
That's right. And there was another politician at it again yesterday on RT. You know, you want Marie Sherlock, the one that beat Jerry Hutch.
Yeah.
She was calling him a fascist and everything on live television. Like, do you think now that Donald Trump is going to entertain those kind of clowns? Not a hope in hell.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for that, Joe. Let me go to Morris. Morris, hi, how are you doing?
Niall, welcome back. I'm glad you're safe and sound. I was praying for you and the Pope at the weekend. Imagine I had you in my prayers with the Pope.
Oh, well, the two of you are still here. I'm glad I was up there. I got a few candles lit for me. He's not well at the moment, I believe. Yeah, he's...
I know. Yeah, he's elderly. He's 88, you know, but
yeah, it's
hopefully he might pull through, but you should think about returning him. It's too old, you know?
Yeah, well, they're not allowed to retire, sure they're not.
Well, your man did, the German fella. He stepped down.
Oh, that's right, yeah, Ratzinger, yeah.
Yeah, he knew he wasn't well, so he got out early. You know, they should do the same.
But the other reason, they got Ratzinger out early because he wasn't a good look for the Catholic Church. There was a lot of bad stuff going on at the time, and they just wanted him out of the way. So that's why they ended But they did end up having two popes because essentially he was still the pope. Because there's always...
Exactly, yeah.
You can't stop it. Yeah, you don't... Yeah, it's like you don't lose the presidency. You know, you're...
I know. And did you ever think you'd see a pope that was in Hitler Youth?
Because
that's what Ratzinger was in when he was a young flea, you know? Yeah. So there you go. Full swing. Getting back to the crisis, I'm glad you're getting better and on the mend, and nobody can look after yourself better than your partner and yourself, so keep doing the good fight.
My wife has been amazing. Even when I was in hospital, she was there night and day, every day.
Good.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, you done right. You married your soulmate when you met Carol.
I sure did. So, Morris, who do we send? Yeah. Who do we send to the White House if there's nobody fit?
Well, I don't want any of them over there because they don't represent me. They're out there stealing another election. Yeah, put two of the biggest enemies in Ireland getting together to rein the people. People don't want these people in power, but they're only there for the money, Niall, and the pension.
I know, yeah.
You know?
I know.
Anyway, I was thinking about a funny one first, right? I was going to send Michael Flatley. And then I had to think about it. Yeah, because he's Chicago Irish, born American, Irish citizen, and sure, Trump would get a buzz out of him, and he'd have a bit of crack on him. No, but you know who I would send now, thinking of an ordinary, good, decent Irish citizen, a woman who took on the state and made them responsible, the woman that discovered all the babies in Chile.
Captain Corliss.
She's the beating heart of this country and women like her. I would send her gladly if she'd go and say, do you want to represent the people of Ireland? Because we love you more than you'll ever know. And so will all those children that you're standing up for.
She was one of the first people to get a standing ovation on The Late Late Show.
There you go. Mm. I remember that. Yeah. I watched that show. Yeah. I remember it.
Yeah.
And she's... Now, if ever there was anybody that represented Irish people and stood up for Irish people, regardless of infancy or old age, Catherine Corliss, she'd be the woman I'd send.
Yeah, she's a wonderful 100%. Woman. I've spoken to her many times.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
she really is. I mean, she's been on the show and she's very wise and she spoke up and the system tried to shut her up, but they didn't. And they better start moving now and getting that situation in Tuam sorted. A lot of people don't like Trump, I think, Niall, because the only reason he's interested, in my opinion, in Gaza and Greenland is there's massive oil and gas reserves in both countries and minerals. And that, to me, that's the reason why he wants to get in there.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? If America were willing to fund and finance rebuilding the Gaza Strip, because let's be clear about it.
Yeah.
Look at the Gaza Strip now. It's just rubble, right? Nobody
destroyed.
Nobody can live there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he was willing and America were willing to fund, because he said this could be like another kind of Dubai or whatever, you know what I mean? Like this oasis in the middle of the desert. And it could be a massive tourist attraction. And then the people, and what he said was, this is a suggestion that he wants to make everybody homeless is nonsense. They're already homeless. Basically, it would create employment for all the local people who want to move back there again, then once it's all built and finished and everything else. So it would create massive employment. So, and it would bring money back into the area. I don't see it as being such a bad thing. But
yeah, it's the way
he says things. People take him out of context.
Yeah, I understand that. But when you're talking about a race of people that the rest of the world is seeing trying to be eradicated by what Israel is doing in the area, they don't want any Palestinians on the land, and it's their land. Like John F. Kennedy said, Palestine was never England's to give away.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This is how far back we can go. You'll always have conflicts, but when you see a nation being annihilated, like we were colonized, and they tried to annihilate us, but we're still here. So that's why Irish people have a great affinity with the Palestinians. They tried to do it to us, but they didn't. And we're standing up with yous and for yous. Fuck Hamas. They're just a terrorist organization. I'm talking about the ordinary, decent people in Palestine, men, women, and children, who were born
here's the problem. Yeah, there was something like, did I see a survey there recently that 70% of the Palestinians support Hamas? Now, you know, mind you, you could have argued, I suppose, during the Troubles here, how many people supported the IRA? You know what I mean? And they were terrorists. So, I mean...
Exactly.
Mm.
You know? I know, yeah, it's history and religion. You know, look at the wars have gone on for years. All religion does is come worse. But listen, if Donald gets in and he does a good job and he makes America great again or proud again, but I don't know, Musk, I don't know, they just leave a bad taste in people's mouths. And be honest with you, Noel, the way I feel, I won't step foot in America for the next 4 years. I wouldn't take a chance with my life over there. That country's out of control. But getting to back to the St. Paddy's Day thing, we're all a pack, a nation, a spud munching, hairy back colchis, paddies and everything else. We get out and have a party on how to enjoy yourself. And like you said, I did find out about that. The shamrock is destroyed because it's an alien plant.
Somebody was telling me it's brought out. Yeah, as soon as the photo op is finished.
They set it on fire.
They burn it.
In a container and they burn it. Yeah, so it's never allowed in. It's just, and like it's to do with religion as well. The shape of the shamrock is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because that's what St. Patrick held up when he was converting the Irish pagans to Catholicism.
Right.
He said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's where the three leaves of the shamrock come from. So there you go.
Is it actually shamrock or is it clover?
No, shamrock. Right. Shamrock. A clover has four leaves, I think, and a shamrock only has three.
Right, okay. No getting over a four-leaf clover.
You're sounding good. Welcome back.
Thanks, Morris.
Keep getting stronger and better. Look after yourself.
All right, thank you very much indeed, Morris. Let me go to Bernie. Bernie, hi, how are you?
Hi, gorgeous. It's great to have you back.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Ida. Well, I'm not completely back. I'm not completely witted yet, but I'm nearly there.
Well, look, you did great. I'm delighted to hear you again. It's so nice.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's going to take a little while to recover completely, but thankfully, I'm on the mend. That's the main thing. So, Bernie, who are we sending? Would you send anybody within government?
I had a list, okay, so none of the government. First of all, I don't know why we have to go to Bola Shamrock when the people in Spain don't go with anything. The Italians don't go, the Germans. Nobody else goes over on their special day. Send anything to sell Ireland. Why are we selling our country?
Yeah, but it's kind of traditional, and there's so many Irish Americans. I suppose that's the whole point of it, isn't it? We have a special relationship with America.
Okay, so I would say A, it would be Enoch Burke, B would be Bundiaki, and C would be a citizen of Ireland who made their home in America, who still have Irish, you know, are still dual citizens, who have made Ireland and America their home and represent Ireland every day when they go out to work. Or any part of the, you know, like even, I was thinking of my son out in New Zealand. He's finally got a citizenship in New Zealand, but he's still Irish to the core and he represents our country every time he goes out to work on a daily basis. And he never lets it down. And
now,
I think
a lot of
like
people are saying Enoch Burke, right? Now, here's the thing, right? Don't get me wrong. You know, 10 out of 10 for persistence, right? And standing up for your principles. But he's what, 450 days in jail now? At any stage, he can walk out of jail. All he has to do is walk into the judge in the court and say that he will obey the order of the court, right? Because for people, by the way, who are saying he's in jail because he won't use a pronoun for a child, that's completely untrue. That's not why he's in jail. He's in jail because of contempt of court and he won't obey the order of court. The judge has no choice but to put him in jail. That's just Irish law, right? Now, in saying that, there is other ways around it. Now, I know there's an appeal coming up soon in relation to his job. He still gets paid, of course, in work. He's still getting paid. They're now looking at taking money out of his pay because he owes 79,000 or something in fines because there's a fine every day that he stands outside the school. But at this point, you know, he could be more useful outside of jail than inside jail. It doesn't make sense to me anymore. You know what I mean? And that's his choice, but it is his choice. He's the one choosing to stay in jail. I mean, he's not, I don't know, is he trying to be a martyr or something? I just don't know at this stage. I guess
what you're telling me, but I do get the thing that appeals to me about him is the fact that he was willing to stand his ground when nobody
absolutely
else was.
Absolutely, and that's and fine. I get that part.
Yeah, I'm not disputing any of that, and I wish that there was another way around this. And I just feel it's very sad in this day and age that somebody who believes and fervently that there, you know, in what he does believe, and I do concur with what he says, there is only two genders, but that's, and I hate to see forums with they, she, him, her.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. But here's the thing, he could be more useful campaigning outside jail than in jail. All he has to do is stay away from the gate of the school. That's all they've asked him to do for the time being, until his appeal comes up, and, you know, and let a court decide who's right and who's wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't understand the point of just wanting to be in jail constantly. He could be out of jail tomorrow if he wanted. All he has to do is ask to see the judge and tell the judge that he'll obey the order of the court. And the judge will let straight out.
I'm very legal inept. I don't have a clue about it. I don't, not much up to date on laws. But, you know, the likes of, I don't know, to be honest, I just, I know you all think it's great that we go over with Bola Shamrock and this. We don't need to sell our country. Our country's already gone. Like this country that we all live in, why are we sending people all over the world? We've got loads of them going to, you know, every country in the world is getting in Thailand, you know, where's the other place? They're going to New Zealand, they're going to Australia. Why? Why are we going to, all our citizens are already gone to these countries. They already represent Ireland on a daily basis. What do we need these Ramadans going out who are absolutely...
I call it the jolly boys, the jolly boys week off. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. There are some countries, I suppose, that maybe we want to get some foreign relationships with or whatever. But here's the thing. I agree with you. I think it's a waste of money. You know, they're Irish politicians. They should be here on St. Patrick's Day. It's the biggest day of the year in Ireland. They should be here.
But we're looking at Niall. I mean, I know I'm having a pain in my gid on going on. We were here in the west of Ireland and not one bit ounce of help did we get when the storm hit. And they're still there. There's roads closed down today because they're cutting trees that were still hanging for the, nearly a month. Like, they didn't even acknowledge their own citizens in their own country, and they took their 2 weeks holiday, and yet they want us to understand why they're going out to all these countries all over the world. We don't need to sell Ireland. Everybody knows where friggin' Ireland is. They all know how to come here, no problem. So we don't need them going out. No. What we need them to do is get our country infrastructure straight, close down the stupid children's hospital, stop wasting money, and look at the roads, look at the way the people are being treated, the three-year waiting list for to be seen by somebody. I waited 4 years to get an appointment for physiotherapy. I finally got it. 4 years.
That's crazy.
And I've worked in the health service.
4 years is a joke.
I mean, I might as well have been in a wheelchair. Look at God, I was able to do the exercises. I went to the seaside and went into the cold water. You know, but I mean, that is a joke.
Yeah.
Now, like, everybody I know is sick to their teeth of this government, and we are dreading it for the next 5 years of this rubbish. And, you know, we have to take all the crime that's going on in the moment. I feel sorry for the guards. They are out of their depth, and we're out of our depth as a country.
So there's not one of them you feel you'd send to the White House?
There isn't one, not one. I'm sorry. I know they mentioned some nice ladies there who are won everything. We don't need to waste the money. We haven't got the money to be putting it in. Put it into the infrastructure. Let me see you down here, all them TDs, and let them help the people that are left stranded here.
Okay. Bernie, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Let me go to Seamus. Seamus, Bernie has a lot to say there. And she's probably right, in fairness. Look, I mean, when you look at the list of them all going, I believe, by the way, when it comes to them going away, they put all the locations in one bowl, the politicians' names in another bowl, and it's like the World Cup. They draw them out as to where they're going. Do you understand what I'm saying? So some poor unfortunate fecker gets Edinburgh or something like that. You know what I mean? And somebody else gets New Zealand. You know, but they go for a week, by the way. It's not just a day. They end up going for a week and they can bring their partner or whatever it is and they stay in a 5-star hotel. Like, it costs a lot of money for the state.
Well, it probably costs like the hundreds of thousands anyway. We know that much already. But the sad thing here, just listening to the previous caller, I agree with her as well. But, with the Gardaí in a recruitment campaign at the moment, they're on video saying, calling it to mosques and whatever.
Well, I've seen that, yeah. I've seen that video going around yesterday.
We don't want too many Irish men and women being a member of the force. We have our children being sent off. Like, the government have sold, they're continuously selling our children, selling the country. They sold the Diageo Guinnesses, they sold Aer Lingus, they sold our fisheries. They're selling off our children. They're selling off. There is no country here, like, there's no identity. I don't know why, like, they want to go over and sell her. And the Irish people are not allowed to raise their own tricolour in their own country. They're allowed to be called a far-right racist. It's insane what's going on in this country. And, you know, the saddest thing of all, just listen to the previous caller, like, people re-elected this.
Yeah.
They re-elected this only weeks ago. And we've had appalling levels, the worst levels in the history of the Irish state. This state's only about 120 years old, if even.
But the reason they get re-elected every single time is because of the position. Then they're the incumbent, and you know, and it's good marketing. Look, it's all about marketing, isn't it, when it comes to elections? And you know, my dad voted for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and we're a Fine Gael family, and and it's the local politicians more so in the local areas who've done a bit of work in the local areas for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. So that's how they end up getting back in every single time. Because you did see some of the main ones struggled to get in.
Yeah, it's become a very sad state. Like, like I've watched Ireland over the years as well, you know, all of the parades in Dublin over the years and elsewhere around the country. And it is a great spectacle and it is great crack and all of the rest. But Ireland is no longer what it used to be. It's destroyed. It's eroding right before our eyes. Our children are gone. It's a very sad place at the minute. So, you know, we should be sending over the likes of people probably like, you know, big business owners like the Colson brothers, the billionaires who are in the US who own Stripe. Maybe send over a selection of nurses and junior doctors who are working in the state just to express the dire straits that we're in and the kind of help and the kind of innovation that we need brought into this country to fix the mess that our leaders have created. They're the leaders we have at the moment. They're not leaders. They're just going over the party on our money while we pay for everything else that's in this country, which is little or nothing that you get back. It's a very sad place at the moment in Ireland that to know that people, knowing the records on homelessness, child homelessness, the state of the HSE, it's actually getting to the point where it's frightening for elderly people now because you're left for dead, literally. We've had teenagers die in hospital who should have been sent home and fixed up. It's appalling. And
do you think they'll get an invite? By the way, do you think they're going to get the traditional invite this year? It doesn't look like it, does it?
Well, do you know what's been interesting about it all? We're off the back of the German election where the far right, as they call it,
one in five
Germans now want an end to this crap that we're being put through in Europe.
Mm.
And Holland is already there, Hungary's there, Italy's there, and the Netherlands is there.
Yeah,
Poland is there. Ireland is now just evolving with no right-wing section in the political forum. So we will, in theory, become the refugee camp of Europe with the deals that they're cutting with these parties that are going into power now in Europe. We're being left behind because we've no right-wing way of thinking. We're only left liberal, and that's it. It's sad, but it's a delusion because the reality of what's left in this country is pretty appalling when you look at it.
I even looked the other day at the list of people who were planning or maybe proposing to run for presidency in June or October, should I say. And to be honest with you, it's just like there's about 15 or 20 kind of possible names there. And they're all left. Most of them are nearly all left-leaning. Yeah.
The whole country, the whole political establishment in the Dáil is left-wing. Even Sinn Féin are left. You actually need to balance out the pendulum on all rights in this country. Rights for individuals, rights for children, rights for sections of society, rights for business, everything. You need a right-wing to balance it out. There's no right-wing. We've ingrained, ever since the evolution of Fine Gael under Enda Kenny passed over to Leo Varadkar, we have nothing but a left-leaning lunatic society who are really just paying for it all. It's a quite a sad place. A nation of lemmings just left with no choice but to re-elect the same people that would destroy the lives of their own children.
And I think the problem, Seamus, is the right wing just don't seem to be able to organise themselves properly.
Perhaps. Let's see what they do in Europe because it's already in place in Europe. And Europe, at the end of the day, dictates what our lemmings in the Dáil do in this country. So there's no point looking at RT News or anything that goes on in this country because we're stuck with what we have.
I stopped watching RT News years ago. Listen, Seamus, thanks for that. Okay, Seamus believes that send over some nurses, send over some Irish millionaires or successful Irish business people. Maybe the people should be going there. Let me just go to Maureen. We've been waiting for ages. Sorry, I do apologise, Maureen.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Maureen,
to hear you back.
Oh, thanks very much indeed. I appreciate it.
You're missing the night show too, but AJ and Gary did a good job, so it wasn't the same.
Thank you very much indeed. Maureen, who do you think we should send?
Well, you see, my first pick again, like Bernie, was Enoch Burke, the Burke family.
Okay.
But, you know, instead of sending, like, politicians, I mean, as you say, look, there's no need for anybody to go over there taking balls to Shamrock. We have an affinity with the United States. Look at all the Irish diaspora that are over there. Mm-hmm. Why don't they pick from each community just some ordinary working people, send them to the United States, cut out all these politicians, cut out all the millionaires, send the ordinary people who are struggling every day of the week, send them. I would think. And
take five or six random kind of Irish Americans who've been working successfully in America, whatever. Yeah.
Yes, or from here.
Okay.
A few from each community here as well.
Mm.
send them, cut out all these millionaires and politicians, because, you know, they don't deserve to go there. And I hope they get no invitation. I hope he snubs them completely.
Doesn't look like they're going to get the invitation, because we'd normally know at this stage if they've got it. I mean, it's getting close.
But they're still pushing themselves to go there, right? They're going uninvited.
I know, it's less than 3 weeks away now, and there's still no invitation.
Next they have.
Well, as far as I know this, and somebody said to me the other day, maybe they have been invited, we just don't know about it. And I said, no, if they were invited, you'd know about it. They'd tell us.
Oh, you'd know about it. Yeah. They'd be singing like canaries about it. If they were invited. And then Mary Lou, oh, well, we're boycotting it.
Nah, don't
Well, you can't boycott something that you aren't invited to.
Yeah, well, look, Mary Lou and Michelle O'Neill and Sinn Féin, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Absolute and utter hypocrites.
Yeah. But the whole lot of them are
They were schmoozing away with Joe Biden, you know, when he was over here, and Michelle O'Neill when she went over last year with the Irish contingent. Yeah. So they were schmoozing away, and Joe Biden was a warmonger. They're a bunch of hypocrites. And David Quinn summed it up earlier on by saying the reason they don't want to go over is because they're probably going to run for presidency and they don't want to have a picture going around of them with Donald Trump. That's all.
Yes. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
They hate him so much and they think they're so stupid that Donald Trump doesn't know what's being said, because apparently there's a few Irish, they'd be bloggers now, but they have a great following on X.
Yeah.
And isn't J.D. Vance following one of them?
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting to know exactly what's going on over here, like what they're saying about it.
Oh, they know. Don't be...
They know it.
Of course, Donald Trump knows exactly what the Irish government has been
saying
about
him. He does, yeah. He does.
And you know as well as I do, he takes things quite personally and he can be quite vindictive and get his own back. So he's not going... I don't really believe he's going to invite them. I think it's the last people he wants in the White House.
Oh, he's the last people he wants. Do you know, Niall, I'll tell you what. You and myself will go over and we won't be long sorting him out and telling him exactly what's going on over here.
I'll go over. I'd be happy to go over with a bowl of Shamrock.
Yeah, and I'll go with you and I'll be telling him another few things.
I'll take you along,
Maureen.
I'll
bring another few with me.
I'll take you along, Maureen. I'd say you'd rebel rouse when you get over there, no problem.
You can be sure I would.
You would indeed. All right, Maureen, listen, thank you very much indeed. Appreciate it. Let me go to Norman. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall. How are things? I hope you're better now.
Yeah, getting there. So, Norman, who would you send to the White House?
Well, it wouldn't send Micheál Martin, that's for sure.
No.
I'd send over nurses, Gardaí, cancer patients who can't get a medical card.
Right.
You know, although the Ukrainians can. People who are made homeless because they can't afford a house.
Yeah.
You know, people who deserve a bit of a break. Not these gangsters or crowds.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, I think you're a bit unfair on Sinn Féin because...
I'm being unfair on Sinn Féin. Would you give me a break? How am I being unfair? They're hypocrites. Absolute hypocrites.
Yeah, sure. But I was listening last week when Trump said about... Zelensky the yellow card or the red card.
Yeah. But he thinks he's now saying that Zelensky is a dictator. By the way, I don't disagree with Donald Trump. I think Zelensky, and I've said it, by the way, for the last 2 years, I think he's useless. I don't like the guy. Yeah. Never did. There's something very sinister about him. He's making a lot of money off the back of this war. You know, he spends more time walking around the world meeting important people, pretending to be famous, begging for money than he does anything else. And now this whole idea that he said he will resign or step down as president if Europe let, Ukraine join NATO. I mean, if that was the case, then we're dragging the whole of Europe into the war. So, the man is a warmonger, equally as bad as the rest.
100%. Do you know that in October 2022, he brought in a law forbidding negotiations?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he cancelled the elections as well already. I mean, Donald Trump has said that you know, as part of a peace process, there will have to be an election. And I don't disagree with that, because you have to have the will of the people. So it's important that we understand what the will of the people is. At this moment in time, we don't know what the will of the people is, because he's already cancelled an election once already. So, you know.
Exactly. But if you listen to Starmer or Harris or Micheál Martin or von der Leyen or all these other lunatics who seem to want to have us to bring us into a war, or at least it'll cost at least $250 billion to bring the armies in Europe to increase the level they want to do.
Europe have just said now they're going to put more, another few billion into Ukraine, into weapons. I don't want my tax money, my European tax money, being pumped into weapons, in Ukraine.
Well,
so the war will never end if you keep funding it. It's never going to end. You know what
exactly.
I mean? And where's the money going? Trump questioned it during the week, and then Zelensky said he didn't know where it was. Something like, I don't know, was it 100 billion went missing or something like that? They don't even know where it is. Stop.
But the worst thing is he says, I care for my country. I'm not going to sell my country off. He has already sold his country off. He's made a contract with BlackRock for renovation, or you call it for after the war. He sold off to the big American multinationals, agricultural industries, Monsanto, or we call the place. They've sold off huge tracts of land. Is any part of Ukraine left that hasn't been sold off by...
Let's move away from that. I mean, we all agree, I agree with Donald Trump's stance on Ukraine. And it's the only way to end the war. The war can only end with talks. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that Putin is not a dictator. Of course he is. But in saying that, it can only end in talks. Getting back to who should go. So guards, nurses, you mentioned cancer victims who can't get a medical card. I suppose this is all hypothetical. But would you? There's no Irish politician you'd send at all. Do you believe they're going to get an invitation, Norm?
I don't think so. I think Trump will say, forget about it. The things they've been saying about him. And the thing is, I'm not a Trump supporter by in any shape or form. But I can't understand. Every time I listen to the radio, they're be it RTE or News Talk or Pat Kenny or Claire Bourne, and their guests on the radio programs, they're laying into Trump. I'm thinking, why didn't you say this about Biden? How come this is only this craziness?
I mean, when you look at what Biden did to America, and a lot of this has been discovered now, the amount of money that was wasted. He was a warmonger as well. The amount of money that's been wasted. I mean, billions of American tax dollars going on stupid stuff. I mean, but the Irish, but you won't hear the Irish media giving out about him.
No.
Crazy.
Not a word.
You know what I mean?
I'm anti-Trump in a way, but at least he's getting things done. I don't understand why they're so, like with Corbyn, they're laying into him at any opportunity, and there's moments of words when it comes to von der Leyen or Zelensky or Biden, who's a right nutcase. Biden did some horrible things.
Mm.
But nothing, or Netanyahu, whatever the name is.
Yeah.
And nothing said about that. It's all aimed at Trump.
And the man, he was instrumental, obviously, in the ceasefire in Gaza. He's now obviously instrumental. He's going to be meeting Putin during the week. And he obviously tries to want to get talks together. He's not taking any shit from anybody. So he wants to stop the war. He is a peacemaker. He's stopped so many wars at this stage.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet he gets no credit for it. They just give out about him all the time.
But your man, what was it, Barack Obama, gets a bloody Nobel Peace Prize. He created 7 wars. I mean, what the hell's going on?
More people died under his watch in war than anywhere else. Yeah. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It's bizarre. Yeah. You know what I mean? When Barack Obama initially left office, I mean, they were on the verge of a nuclear attack by Korea. And yet Donald Trump was the first president to meet Kim Jong-un, if that's how you pronounce his name, and sort that whole problem out. And basically, America and North Korea became friends.
Exactly.
And he got no credit for that either.
No credit for it.
Nope.
And every time I turn on the radio, it's you know exactly what they're going to say. Brendan thingy, he has that thing on a Sunday morning.
Brendan, what's his name? Oh, your man that used to say, Brendan, Brendan O'Connor.
Yeah. Another useless idiot. Anyway, exactly what they're going to say. And as Trump did this and Trump did that.
No, it's all anti-Trump. I mean, don't get me wrong. Trump is not perfect. I'm well aware of that.
No,
the man makes a lot of mistakes as well. But in saying that, I think he's done a lot more good for America than he's done bad. Norman, I'm running out of time. Norman, thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Tony finally today. Tony, hi, how are you?
Niall, how's it going? You okay?
Yeah, well, that's subjective, by the way, that question.
It's great to have you back. It's great to have you back. We were all worried sick about you.
Yeah, I'm grand. Thanks to the doctors and the nurses.
Who's going to give us a voice if Niall doesn't?
Well, thanks to the doctors and nurses in the hospital, I feel a lot better now than I did. But in saying that,
will bounce back, Noel. A bit of time, but
yeah.
Just give yourself a bit of exercise and eat well and really help you along the way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all it needs, hopefully. Anyway, what do you think?
I'm going to start moaning now, okay?
Moan away. Come.
Just like you're turning around and saying, send guards over. What happens if they get to Washington and Trump sits them down and go, it was you who was spraying the people and beating the people with batons.
Mm.
Yeah, but that were protesting in that communities, women, grandmothers, mothers and grandmothers. What happens then? Mm. Why would you send the Garda over, Noel? They've turned on the people. And I'm not anti-Garda by any stretch of the imagination. But what they've done over the few years, they have facilitated this 100%. Why on earth would you send the Garda over?
Yeah, that was Norman's idea. Yeah.
Well, tell Norman he's off his head.
Right, okay. He's gone now.
Why would you send the Garda over that's going and beating and pepper spraying ordinary Irish citizens where there's no threat to life, there's no threat to anything, they're just protesting?
Yeah, they'll argue, keeping the peace. Garda. Yeah.
What's that?
They'll argue they're keeping the peace. That's what they'll say.
No, Noel,
I know. I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way, you know, this idea that we were only following orders, I don't buy that. But, you know, I did see, you know, now don't get me wrong, I seen some gurrier protesters as well, by the way, who were abusing the guards.
I'm not on about the gurriers,
yeah.
Noel. I'm
yeah,
not
but I did gurriers, see, I did see the guards. No, it was excessive use of power. Absolutely. Of course it was.
Why would you send the guard over?
It shouldn't have been happening in the first place, because we shouldn't have thousands and thousands of people coming into the country illegally in the first place. So it all should have never been happening. So the root of the problem is the government. You know what I mean?
Oh, look, what I'm saying about the Garda is the Garda is 100%, and not just thing of doing your job. The Garda are facilitating this, even encouraging it. They're laughing in people's faces. But it's them that's going to come back on as well. It's going to come back on all of us.
Yeah, well...
Who I would send over is... I'd send a lady over. I'm going to be very politically correct here now.
Yeah.
I'd send a lady over. Everyone there has been saying, send this fella, send that fella, send the other over. I would send the likes of Carol Nolan.
Okay.
Or Elaine Mullally.
Elaine Mullally. Yeah, she's a very nice lady, yeah. Yeah, I know Elaine. I know Elaine well.
Sit down with Donald Trump in a nice mannered way. Sit down with somebody and say, please help us. Because this corrupt government, and that's what they are, each and every one of them slaughtered Donald Trump in the run-up to the election. And now the wind, I mean, to listen to Micheál Martin speak after the J.D. Vance speech in Munich, it was pathetic.
Mm.
He was absolutely pathetic. He wouldn't stand, that's what he believes in, well, stand up for it and call Vance a racist and a fascist and whatever he wants to do, but he didn't. He said, well, he's entitled to free speech.
That's right.
We're not entitled to free speech, are we?
It doesn't seem that way anymore, no.
No. Yeah.
That's going to get worse. We're seeing what's happening in the UK now with Keir Starmer currently at the moment, where there was a granny. Did you see that story in the UK? Two detectives called to the door of a granny because she had put up a comment, you know, disagreeing with the local government. And they called to her door. These are Manchester detectives. And afterwards they were asked, like, did she do anything illegal? And they said, no, we just called to the door to have a chat with her. And she said now she's terrified to go online. To intimidate her, yeah.
No, they just called to intimidate the lady. That was a 54-year-old woman, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. It's like the Stasi. Do you remember the Stasi? Would be called to people's doors. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, who else?
Same age group. It's fine. Look, I'm the same age group as you, Noel, and you probably often wondered. Yeah, but just like in Eastern Europe and East Germany in particular, how did it get so bad? We know now how it got so bad, because if the police is on the government's side and is acting as a private security force, that's the way it gets. And people are squealing on each other, telling tales on each other. It's all wrong, Noel. It's all wrong. And how Micheál Martin even wants to go and sit with Donald Trump is beyond.
And you see, Simon Harris was also at that speech in Munich. He hadn't got a word to say afterwards either.
JD Vance's speech, I thought his speech was brilliant, by the way. Can I just point out?
It was absolutely, it was a half an hour of absolute truth.
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah.
But it's then when Simon Harris didn't even comment on it, he was going around getting his photograph taken with your man Lammy.
That's
from
right.
England, that
yeah.
head case.
Yeah.
David Lammy.
Yeah.
He's as mad as a brush. He's only short of getting that other one, just like her name is, I think it's Abbott. She's Diane Abbott. You should watch her interview. She's just comedy gold.
I've listened to Diane Abbott on a few occasions. Okay, so none of them you believe deserve to go to the White House. Do you think they're going to get an invitation at all, actually, by the way? Do you think Donald Trump will extend the invitation?
I hope he doesn't invite him. I really, really hope he doesn't.
It'd be funny
him.
If he doesn't.
I'd rather see anyone going. I'd rather see anyone going. They don't deserve to go. Just like after slaughtering Donald Trump the way they did before the elections. I mean, even the part that they want to go is even pathetic. They're pathetic men, Noel. They're not men at all.
Well, it is hypocritical that they would spend the last 3 years doing nothing but giving out about him. And then all of a sudden, I want to go to the White House to bring a bowl of shamrock. It is completely hypocritical. Yeah, it just goes to show you how weak they are. By the way,
I honestly think Ireland has been targeted as well, purely, but just by the EU. It's because we have such weak wimps of men.
Yep. Oh no, we are. No, I couldn't agree with you more. They're weak.
And says, look, these are fucking ticks. These are. They'll bend over any way you want.
Well, right. They're ticks.
Just
the whole
keep
lot of them.
Throwing things at them, and they'll just keep nodding their head, like the ones that you sent to Europe. Just keep nodding their head, vote yes all the time. I think the country is going to end up in a terrible. It's bad enough as it is, but it's just going to get worse. And we need some outside information.
Yeah. Well. Listen, Tony. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. Listen, Tony. Thank you very much indeed for that. Tony has a lot to say, as you can hear. Some of the comments, by the way, coming in line. Juniper says, Ronan Mullen or Enoch Burke, or your good self, Niall. Sean Kelly says, nobody. We should have nothing to do with the orange bollocks. Enoch Burke by a country miles is from a cop. Geraldine Cunningham says, Carol Nolan, TD. Catherine Connolly, TD. The president is waiting, says PDF veteran. Mary McMahon says, Nick Delahunty or Ben Scanlon. Enoch Burke, he is a great Christian man of integrity, says Linda. Susan on X says, I would vote for Mary Lou McDonald, but she's already said she's not going. I don't know why you said that, Susan. Deirdre Ward says an ex Catherine Connolly Galway. Sandra says FedEx cheaper to post it. The shamrock, obviously. Somebody else says Enoch Burke or Conor McGregor. Yeah, would you piss off Conor McGregor? Would you really want the state of him? Would you really want him in the White House? Does he represent Irish people? No, he doesn't. He's a gobshite. I'm struggling to think who could represent Ireland. I would preferably have Niall to go rather than our politicians. Ronan Mullen, Sharon Keoghan, maybe. Yeah, Sharon Keoghan, yeah, she's a good woman. And Ronan Mullen's a good guy. Dara on WhatsApp says, Mark O'Mahony on Facebook says, what they should do is not go at all and send a message to Trump that while racism and sexual assault didn't matter to the American people, it matters to us. Mark, they wouldn't give a shite. Donald Trump doesn't give a shite if they don't go. He doesn't, couldn't care less. But then again, Mark, I know you're a big lefty. I advocate Enoch Burke. By the way, this Enoch Burke thing, right? You know, don't get me wrong. I've said him time and time again, 10 out of 10 for Prince, standing up for your principles and all the rest of it and everything else. And well done to him. Remember, people keep saying, oh, he was sent to jail because he wouldn't call a child by the right pronoun. That's not why he was sent to jail. It's nothing to do with why he was sent to jail. He's in jail because he's contempt of court. Because it's a court order. And people are saying that, oh, the judge has been really harsh. The judge is not. The judge can only enforce the law. The judge can't change the law. Now, there are cases, of course, in family law where people breach court orders all the time and don't go to jail, and I get that. But this being such a high-profile case, the judge is bound by the law, obviously, in this case. Maybe. I don't know. To continue doing what they're doing. Now, Enoch Burke can walk out of jail tomorrow, by the way. All he has to do is arrange to meet the judge or go into the court and tell the judge that he'll obey the court order and he won't stand outside the school. He can still have his appeal, by the way, and can still stand over his principles. He can still campaign for his principles. But he doesn't have to stand outside the school. That's all they're asking him not to do, stand outside the school. Because obviously some people believe that's intimidating. So I don't know. I'm kind of caught between a rock and a hard place on the whole Enoch Burke thing. He doesn't have to be in jail. I don't know. Does he want to be a martyr or something? I'm not too sure at this stage what's going on anymore. How long more is he going to keep doing it? Because it's a vicious circle. It's never going to end. As long as he says he's going to stand outside the school, he will keep being put in jail. So that's just the way, that's the way the law is. That's the way it'll be forever. So in 10 years' time, will we be talking about it, say, oh, Enoch Burke is still in jail? You know, I mean, what is he going to do? Is he going to keep doing it forever? At some point, he's going to have to stop doing it if he wants to get out of jail. Anyway, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today, by the way. And thank you to all the well-wishers. I really, really do appreciate it, by the way. Oh, we've Jonathan's message to play, have we? Oh, yeah, sorry, I do apologise. Hang on, Jonathan.
Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to say welcome back. I'm glad you're feeling better. Must have been an awful scare for you last week. So welcome back, and I'm glad you're doing better. We all know at this stage that Sharia Féin is done in this country. You know, they're an anti-Irish globalist party is what they are, like the rest of them, like Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Trump's not going to invite these people over. I'd love to see Enoch and his family go over, just to rub salt in the wounds. Now, I know your stance on Enoch and the whole court injunction thing, but, you know, I'm convinced this is just lawfare on this man at this stage. Look what they're doing now, they're trying to take money out of his account. And look what they've done to grip media and other independent journalists in this country in the last couple of weeks now, with the courts and all that, trying to get the records on Twitter. So no, to my mind, just to rub salt in their wounds, send Enoch over and the family. That'd be a lovely picture. Be great to see that. And like I said, more than anything else, just to rub salt in the wounds. And I do back Enoch on this issue anyway, so, you know. But no, glad to see you back now. Sorry I can't come on. Have a great show. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate that. And thanks. And I appreciate everybody, by the way, sending in some lovely messages. It was difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. I've never been in hospital in my life, ever. That's my first time ever. And when they said to me, oh, we're admitting to hospital, it terrified me. But afterwards, of course, when I was talking to the consultant, he said that it was lucky that I came to, or went to hospital when I did. Because at that stage, it was quite critical. Because the infection was so deep. I don't know what sort of an infection it is, but it's in my blood anyway. And it could take, I've been told, a couple of months to go away. So I'm going to still feel crap probably for the next month or two. But look, you know, you can't just obviously spend the rest of your days in hospital on a drip, which I was on a drip for antibiotics. So thank you to everybody, by the way, for sending us the messages. I'm back, of course, because, you know, well, it's important that we provide the service. It's also easy for a doctor to turn around and say, oh, you know, keep taking time off work and stay off work for a month and stay in bed. And that's easy for a doctor to say, well, he's not paying your bills. And that's what I want to get to. It's really important. We've had a bad month this month, obviously, because we haven't been here. We've been running repeats for the last 2 weeks, and I do apologize for that. I know it pissed some people off, but some of you were okay with it because some of the ones you hadn't heard before. So I do apologize for that. But look, that's going to affect us financially, paying our bills at the end of this month, because obviously I've been out sick. So we would ask you to try and support us if we can. It's really important. And at this time, particularly, we need your support. So if you can, subscribe or donate on the website. You can go to nileboylan.com. You can subscribe there. It's the price of a cup of coffee. And hopefully, by the way, I can stay on the air until I recover fully. I should be able to, hopefully, as long as the temperature stays down. Unfortunately, I'm still getting temperatures every day, taking paracetamol, taking antibiotics. But hopefully the temperature will stay down so I can stay on the air every day. And the same at night on the radio. So I'm back on the radio again tonight as well at 9 o'clock. You know, a lot of it to do, well, I suppose the doctor said a lot of it to do with the fact that my immune system is probably a bit low because I'm kind of stressed and probably overworked. And the reason I'm overworked is because this is a passion. It's nothing to do with the radio. The radio is a job, of course, but this is a passion. I've always wanted this. I've always wanted this opportunity to give people a platform every single day, an uncensored platform. That's not governed by anybody, where I'm the boss and I decide what goes out on the air. And that's what we've been doing for 2 years on this. We don't make any money out of it. We make enough sometimes to pay the bills every single month. Thanks to those who do subscribe and those who do donate. But it's really important that you do that, because if you don't, we can't survive. And my passion goes down the drain. So it's because of that stress and that working too hard that I wasn't able to fight this infection as well as I probably should have been able to, because I'm working too much. So please, if you can, we'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe to us and donate, because the more subscriptions and donations we get, it puts me in a much better position. I'll explain all that to you in the future again. So please do, if you can, just donate a fiver or a tenner or whatever it is, it'll help us pay the bills at the end of this month. It's 5 days away. So please do it if you can. And all you got to do is go to our website, nileboylan.com. I do apologise. One or two people said the live feed wasn't working over the last 2 weeks. That's because there were repeats. So unfortunately, the live feed wouldn't have been working because I wasn't sitting in this chair. So I do apologise for that. And if you do have any issues, by the way, ever signing into the website, somebody had an issue there during the week. They sent us an email. We'll get back to that. It's usually because you've probably put in the wrong password or username. Always, when you're signing up to the website, write down the email address that you've used and the password you've used. That's usually the problem we find when people have issues logging back in, you know, to look back. Remember, of course, when you do subscribe, you have your own login and password on the website, and you can watch all the previous episodes, including lots of interviews that have never gone out live, by the way, and they're not anywhere else apart from on the website. So that is, there is a lot of exclusive stuff that you can see in the video section, particularly on the website. You can go right back for 2 years. There's great interviews there, some wonderful interviews that never went out live. So do subscribe. As it says, the price of a cup of coffee. Three of us work on this show. We're sharing a cup of coffee once a month. Starbucks coffee, $5.99. Or please, if you can't do that, just donate. If you're wealthy, you've got a big business and you want to support us, please just donate. By going to the website and clicking the donate button. You can donate anything you want to donate, and we'd really appreciate it. Particularly this time, when I'm just back after being in hospital for 2 weeks, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed to everybody who got involved in the show today. Remember, donate or subscribe, nileboylan.com. We really do appreciate your help and your support. Back again tomorrow, hopefully, at 12 o'clock. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.